You're listening to Rosie on the House.
Come on around side of the house with me, Arizona homeowners. It is 8 o'clock. It's Saturday morning. It's the fourth Saturday of the month. We are urban farming with Farmer Gray.
Hello, hello. Love being here.
Of the urbanfarm.org.
Yep.
You have been an urban farmer in the state of Arizona for...
Well, it depends. I've been seriously doing it for 29 years, but I planted my first gardens here in the valley in 1974 at the ripe young age of 14 years old.
And what we love about having you on, Farmer Greg, is you always come with something new. I mean, as long as we've been doing this, there's still something new. We learn words like microisms and igorisms, and there's so many new vocabulary that we expound upon. And the passion for it, it always electrifies us and gets the audience engaged because it is something you're truly passionate about. But what's so attractive about your passion is it's just a sheer love for it, but you're not beating anyone over the head because they're not doing it.
Right.
You know, many times when people are that passionate about something, if you're not doing it, they get in your face and they don't understand why you're not on board, blah, blah, blah. It does nothing but turn people off. It has the reverse effect of what you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah.
You've just got this love and passion that it just makes people want to garden.
Well, here's what I do. I kind of hold it up. I'm holding up my hand right now, my left hand, with my hand facing up. And it's like, you know what? You can do this. It's easy. You can. And I kind of, you know, I bring that energy to it. It's an enticement energy rather than, you know, what you said. So, and you know, I just love what I do every day. This is a passion that's lived since 1974, when in the eighth grade, I wrote a paper on how we were overfishing the oceans. So back then I knew that there was something inherently wrong with the way we were living and eating on the planet. And it took me, you know, a couple decades to figure it out. But now this is what I get to do every day is teach people how to grow their own healthy, nutrient dense, incredibly tasting food.
And it took National Geographic until the mid-2000s to finally publish that article about overfishing the oceans.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
You were 20 years ahead of National Geographic.
Or 30 or 40, there you go. So, citrus.
We have all of our topics in this 2018 follow our home maintenance calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And the first Saturday of the month, the Farm Bureau comes in and talks about what's in harvest. So back in January, we had the Justice Brothers in with the Arizona Farm Bureau, and we talked about citrus. Well, we're back on citrus because February, even though we're nearing the end of our primary citrus season, this is the perfect opportunity to plant.
That is correct.
So that when November comes around and December and January, we can start reaping the benefits of this wonderful sea of Arizona.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. So, yes, you harvest citrus generally because there's citrus that lasts some trees all year round. But generally, the citrus harvest is November, December, January, February. And the best time to plant citrus is after the last frost, which, you know, this year it's got cold again after the last frost date, which is usually around February 15th. And it was 34 degrees in my yard this week. So,
but that's not a frost.
That's not a frost, but that's dang cold. That's dang cold. So the best time to plant citrus is between, I say, February 15th and about April 15th. The reasoning behind that is that citrus are highly affected by cold and frost. So we want to get them in the ground after the last frost and quickly enough so that we have as much time as we can have them in the ground before the next frost arrives. So if we plant them, say, March 15th, that gives us until November before it gets cold again. And that gives us time to get them established and, you know, really thriving. And you kind of reference that we might be harvesting an abundance of citrus the first year. Usually what I tell people is it takes 3 years to get a harvest off of a fruit tree. So it's going to take, you know, it's going to take you 3 years to actually get something. But then one of my favorite things to grow is a fruit tree because they are so incredibly abundant. I developed this theory over the past few years that this notion of lack, not having enough, lives only one place on the planet. It's between our ears. Because when I look at my yard and how my apple trees and peach trees and carrots and broccoli and all the abundance that I have growing in the yard at the urban farm, when I look at how much is there, I just can't imagine that that kind of abundance wouldn't be everywhere.
And it only took you 30, 40 plus years.
Yeah, exactly.
The good news is anybody listening, anybody inspired, anybody that wants to go to that level, mm-hmm. we're going to help you get there a lot faster than that.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what today's about. I've been growing fruit trees since 1975 here in town. I've been seriously growing fruit trees since 1989. I've planted out hundreds and delivered out tens of thousands of fruit trees. I've interacted with people, you know, over the past decade that have been planting trees. I've seen what works. I've seen what doesn't work. I give a lecture both online and in person called Three Ways to Heal Your Fruit Trees. We talked about that last month if you want to go back and reference that. And I know what it takes to grow fruit in the low desert. So that's what we're talking about today.
And you brought some books with you today.
Oh my gosh, yes. So, well, you know, there's...
Let's start with the Phoenix Magazine.
Yeah.
Did that just come out?
Yeah, that's out this week. I was interviewed by Kerwindon Cornelius from Phoenix Magazine on the five C's. Now, all right, what are the five C's of Arizona?
Well, obviously citrus we're talking about here today.
Yep.
Behind that, it's all primarily agricultural.
It is.
You've got cotton.
Yep.
Cattle.
Yep.
Copper. And what affects all of those, climate.
Climate,
so
exactly.
Still, that kind of is tied back into agriculture.
Exactly. So Phoenix Magazine is doing the five C's over the course of a year, and this month is citrus. So she
perfect
did,
tie-in.
Yeah, she did a beautiful job of talking about how citrus, you know, really grew up here. You know, St. Mary's Food Bank really was started based on citrus. I don't know if you know that.
No.
Yeah, the founder of St. Mary's Food Bank actually arrived here. According to the article, he was a playboy and he arrived here and was looking for something to do. And he started collecting citrus and delivering it to the homeless and the needy people back. I know I can't remember what the date was, but that's how it all got started. And still to this day, they, you know, they'll glean, it's called gleaning. They'll glean or harvest, you know, 1 million or 2 pounds of citrus every year and put that healthy citrus into the food banks.
That's an incredible story. I'm glad that they're covering that and they're going to that kind of detail in history. A lot of times when people move here, they don't feel like there's a lot of history. They're just not looking.
Right.
You know,
well, and they didn't grow up with Wallace and Ladmo and Legend City and citrus and date palms. You know, we had to do a show on date palms one of these times. Because date
put
palms
that down
are
for 2019's calendar.
Yeah, date palms are huge here. And we have, you know, the Sphinx date actually was grown and found at 44th Street and Camelback in that area. And that's where the biggest grove in the world of Sphinx dates is. So...
No, we can. It's here. The history is here, and I'm glad that Phoenix Magazine's covering that. So yeah,
that is the case.
I'm going to steal that magazine from you, though, at the break and
all right, cool.
Browse through it. What else have you got here? So
there's a really cool book. It's by John McPhee. It's called Oranges. It's really the history of citrus on the planet, and I picked it up maybe 20 years ago. It was written in 1967, and I get this question a lot. How long do fruit trees live? And what I've discovered, I've actually been planting fruit trees long enough in the valley to live through the entire life cycle of fruit trees. Not citrus, but apples, peaches, apricots, plums, they generally last, if you take really good care of them, and we'll talk about how to take really good care of your citrus here in a little while, but if you take really good care of the deciduous trees, so that apples, peaches, apricots, plums, those kinds of things, that you might get 20, 25 years out of them.
That's it. Wow.
That's it. So, you know, our systems of taking care of them will have them last longer, but we have to work hard on those. It's, you know, it's the heat. The heat just gets them. Well, the citrus loves the heat. I actually have two Arizona sweet oranges in my backyard at the urban farm that were planted sometime in the late 1920s, early 1930s.
Wow.
So that puts them at 80 years, right? In Europe, one celebrated tree called the Constable lived for 473 years. That was a citrus tree that lived for 473 years. So citrus will last a long time if you, you know, if you take care of it.
And was it producing that whole time?
Good question. I don't know that it goes into that, but it produced for a lot of it.
Well, that's longer than most of us will probably be on on this earth in our single given lifetime. So
there you go.
The chances that you're going to outlive the citrus you're planting now, if properly planted and maintained, is...
Exactly. You can leave a legacy. You can absolutely leave a legacy. And, you know, the cool thing is I actually, you know, I live near the station here in an old citrus orchard that in the 1920s and 1930s, they were, you know, it was one of the places that they used to grow citrus. And I've heard rumors... about a railroad that from downtown coming into, you know, into North Central Phoenix, a railroad line to harvest the citrus and take it back and ship it out.
Text questions to 411-923 or email pictures to info@rosieonthehouse.com if you need a little help with variety identification.